Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Isabel Hardman. So we've just had Theresa May's leader speech and it's safe to say that it didn't quite go to plan. There was a lot of coughing and we also had an unwanted visitor, James, didn't we?
Three things happened in that speech, any of which would have been considered a disaster normally. We had a letter fall off the stage behind her. We had her voice not just breaking, but going. At points, you really did wonder whether she would just be able to continue the speech. And then you had the heckler confront her with a P45 on stage. I think the hall just desperately wanted to help her get through it. I was sitting in the hall. I've never known a conference hall so keen to help. You know, at one point, they were standing up for a standing ovation at every opportunity they could take to try and let her get her voice back. They were kind of willing her on. I mean, the reaction in the hall was sympathy, and she seemed incredibly human on that stage. And that moment when Philip May came up at the end and gave her a hug, you could just see the emotion coming out of both of them. But I think the substance of the speech, there wasn't, weirdly enough, we will all talk about the style because we'll talk about these three things. I think the Tory worry, not today, not tomorrow, but I think over the weekend, is there enough there in terms of an agenda? You know, and I think, again, Theresa May, she says, right, I'm going to make my mission to fix the housing crisis. And then she comes up with a policy that's going to lead to about 25,000 more homes. But that, Isabel's much more expert on housing than me, but that seems to me a drop in the ocean to the problem.
And Isabel, as we just said, it was quite hard to focus on the policies in that speech. But do you think they will have made an impression on the party, or right now is no one listening?
I think to a certain extent the catastrophes that happened in that speech were almost helpful to Theresa May. Her riff about "that's what I'm in this for" sounded like Ian Duncan Smith talking about the quiet man turning up the volume, and there were strange sort of passages which could have been very moving but were sort of just thrown in about the death of a man who'd spoken at Conservative Party conference about being stopped and searched. Theresa May then went on to talk about the fact that he'd died of brain cancer and then just moved on, and it was a really strange, jarring interjection. Similarly, when she talked about her regret that she hadn't been able to have children, which I don't think a politician should ever have to apologise for their sort of life circumstances, but also she moved on very quickly from that as well. It was a strangely constructed speech around this concept of the British dream, which politicians have never ever been able to nail. You have Michael Howard trying it in 2004, you have Ed Miliband trying it in 2011 with the promise of Britain. Brits don't see the British dream as Americans see the American dream, and I know the American dream is now often used in a sort of dystopian sense, but we haven't even had the utopian idea of the British dream, so it's very difficult for a weak politician to start trying to define it. And Theresa May certainly made it even more difficult for herself by then not really giving us anything that we could dream about. I mean, as James said, 25,000 council homes over, 5 years, I think it was?
I think it's 2021, I think. I would love to check, sorry.
Well, I mean, economists estimate that we need 250,000 homes of all 10 years, not just council homes, every single year. We've never hit that target. And sure, you know, 25,000 new homes over the next 5 years is going to be 25,000 families who can either move out of overcrowded accommodation or actually finally get the council house that they've been waiting for. But it's nothing. It's a drop in the ocean, and it's not the big, radical, exciting domestic agenda that we were being briefed that Theresa May was going to move the government back onto, so that she wasn't just the PM who got us through Brexit.
James, what does this mean for Theresa May's position? Because I've just been walking around the conference and the members at the moment are putting on a brave face about the speech, playing it down. Do you think this is a pivotal moment in what is her premiership?
I mean, the initial Tory reaction is going to be sympathy. I was just speaking to a minister who's often quite critical of Theresa May and said, look, we all speak, and we all know what it's like to lose your voice like that. And so therefore, I think the speech will get a pass. I think the bigger challenge for Theresa May is at some point soon, she needs to start showing, not telling. She likes to talk a lot about the speech on the steps of Downing Street, and that undoubtedly is an agenda that chimes with the country. But she's now been PM for over a year. She needs to be able to start saying, I told you that this was a problem, and this is how I am fixing it. These are the concrete steps we have taken to fixing it. That is, I think, the next challenge for her, and I think she needs to start doing that sooner rather than later. She can't keep... I thought there was a former camera aide texted me during the speech saying that this is a leader of the opposition speech. And in one way it was, which was she was kind of introducing herself to the country when she's been the country's prime minister for over a year. And I think she needs to start being able to say, I believe in this and that is why I've done this.
Particularly since she's a woman who's branded herself on being the woman who gets things done in politics. Well, when's she going to get those things done? When's she actually going to deliver on those policies that she's promised?
Now, this is the end of conference season and the Conservative conference. Isabel, would you say the Conservatives are in a better or worse position than when it started?
This time last year I'd had to go home early from conference with clinical depression, and I actually think that I was more cheerful this time last year than the Conservatives are this year. This has been the most miserable conference I've ever been to. I think last night I was talking to various ministers who seemed kind of eerily cheerful in the way that someone who's taken too much Pro Plus or just eaten Haribo all day might be. It wasn't a stable cheerfulness, and I think the whole Tory party is so depressed and so knackered and was so hopeful that Theresa May might be able to pull things back. Now they have to hope again that she might be able to do it outside of conference season. The narrative has changed, but it's changed from struggling PM to PM in serious trouble. And I'm sure that Sunday journalists are already trying to work out who is collecting names on lists and whether that's happening.
James, what position is she in?
I think this week was a missed opportunity. She needed to use this week to get her domestic agenda going with a sense of urgency. I don't think there's been that sense of urgency here this week. I think it's been a half encouraging, half depressing week for the Tories. The encouraging thing is that everyone in the Tory party seems to accept what the problem is. That basically, if young people, people under 40, think that they can't own a home, that they're never going to be able to own a home because the housing market is, in Philip Hammond's words, rigged, then they're not going to vote for the Tories because you can't expect people who don't have any capital to be capitalists. The depressing thing is that we haven't yet seen any Tory solutions to this problem that are in any way adequate to it. I mean, this is a kind of theme running through the May government, which is she's got a good sense of what the problems facing the country are. What she doesn't have is the solutions to those problems. And she's got to move very, very soon to start setting out some solutions to those. This week has made the budget even more important because the government now urgently needs some oomph in its domestic agenda.
Do you think, Isabel, that actually we're maybe being a bit harsh here? Because that Labour conference, it was almost like they wouldn't address any problems the party had. At least the Conservatives are managing to do that, or is that a bit kind?
I think Labour at least knows what policies it wants, even if, as a magazine, we fundamentally disagree with all the proposals that Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell were making last week. At least they have an identity and a vision, and they're comfortable in that as a party. The Tories don't seem to, as James said, they don't know what the solutions are to the problems that we're all very aware of. We've been talking about the need to build more homes for a very long time. I could almost recite every single housing fringe that took place at this conference because they've been going on verbatim for the past few years and we've never solved them. One thing that wasn't even talked about at this conference was social care, which obviously the Tories don't want to discuss because they completely screwed it up in their manifesto. But they know what the problems are with this, and yet they're considering having another consultation where they ask people in the sector for their views on what the problems are, as if they didn't actually already know that.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel.